The following message is from our pastor, Robert Haynes, of New Life Community in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Enjoy.
I'd like you to help me this morning. Would you be willing to help me?
Yes.
So I'd like you to finish this sentence. Parenting is. Somebody said hard. Parenting is hard. Parenting is crazy and fun. Is that what you said?
Very stressful.
The most thankless job ever up here. Reward? Who said rewarding? That's a good positive answer. It's an adventure, rewarding. How many of you here are the youngest child in your family? Let's hear it. Youngest child. Wow, what a fantastic group. You know what they say about the youngest child, don't you? Let's see your hands again, youngest child. Yeah. When your parents finally got it right, they quit. I forgot to set my timer. I don't know what's going on. Connie's out of town, and I'm just all discombobulated.
That's a spelling bee word.
It is a spelling bee word. You know, parenting is a difficult subject to speak on. I had a hard subject to talk about a couple of weeks ago. I barely made it through it, but... It's a difficult subject. There we go. That's the way I like it. Parenting is, it's hard, right?
Yeah.
But it is rewarding.
Yeah.
It's exciting. But it also can be extremely, how shall we say, humiliating sometimes. It makes you humble. That's what I'm trying to say. It makes you humble. Because sometimes you find out early on. My youngest grandchild, he'll be 1 year old next month, I think. I'll have to check my phone, but my timer's going, so I can't check it. But I think he turns one next month. He's got this thing he does. And he's gotten to where the other day I was out there in the parking lot. Rebecca was fixing to put him in the car, and he went like this. He went, "Urgh!" I didn't know if he was trying to become a bodybuilder and getting ready. You know how the people at the gym, maybe you're one of these people at the gym, you're a grunter. Sometimes at the gym, there's some big noise people at the gym. I'm intimidated to go into the gym. I like that commercial on TV about the guy that, he said, "I can never work out at such and such. I forget what fitness center it is because there are not enough mirrors." Because... he wants to flex and see himself. He said, "No, seriously, I can't work out here. Not enough mirrors." Anyway, so my youngest grandson, we got seven of them. He's out of town with Connie today. She's at a family reunion in Missouri. But he's got to where he does this grunt thing when he's mad. And Rebecca just laughs at him. She's a great mom. You know, she laughs at him. She said, "Are you mad?" He'll go, "Yer!" You know, like he's flexing or something. 1 year old. So it doesn't take long for them to assert themselves that they have their own mind, they have their own way of thinking about things, they have their own desires. And then when they get a little older, you find that out even more. Then when they get to be teenagers, you even find it out even more. But, you know, kids are great. I love kids. I don't know why, but I really like teenagers kind of the best. And like little ones, once they start talking and walking, I really like them a lot. But I mean, I generally like kids of all ages. But it's challenging. It's hard to speak on parenting because, you know, two out of three of my children. So afterwards, you could go, "Well, one of them's out of town today, but one of them's here." So you could ask him, and say, was your dad a great dad? And I don't even want to know what he would say. But you know, we did some things right. We did some things not right. You know, but today I'm going to try and point us in the right direction as far as this is in our series where you submitted questions. We're doing a 5-part series and then we're going to conclude the series next week. I'm calling it Power Parenting Principles That Work. I remember the first time I ever held Carrie, our oldest son. You know, our children are all grown. The youngest, I think, she's 31, and I think the oldest one, Carrie, I think he's 37. I can't remember, but they're all in there somewhere, you know. But I remember when I held him the first time and thinking, what a... I think I was 22, if I remember, when he was born. I got married young. I was 19 when I got married. Connie was barely 20. I was 19. My daughter, I know you've heard this story, but, you know, when they were getting ready to get married, she said, you know, Edgar asked me, and, you know, I passed out, and then when they woke me up, you know, talking to my daughter, Rebecca, I said, wow, you're really, really young to be getting married. And she took her dagger out. And she said, well, Dad, how old were you when you got married? 19. That's how old she was when she got married. But she had finished 3 years of college already at the age of 19. She graduated. She graduated from Ole Miss in 3.5 years. Unlike our middle son that graduated from Ole Miss, a 4-year degree from Ole Miss, but he crammed it into 7 years. Yeah. Yeah. He really enjoyed living down in Oxford, Mississippi. Oxford, kind of a cool town. But I remember holding our firstborn the first time. It's like, wow. Yeah, I was thinking about how awesome God is, because it's amazing how God creates life. This is amazing. I don't know how a person can look into the eyes of a newborn infant and not think there's a God. Because the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It also says that to deny the truth is to suppress it and hold it in unrighteousness. So we're not really arguing, trying to persuade people that there is a God. We're just trying to get them to admit the God that they already know down deep inside is really there. That the heavens declare the glory of God. A little child declares the glory of God. But not only was I thinking about how awesome God is, but I was thinking about, man, what a responsibility. Here's a little life. A little person. And seriously, I mean, I'm not joking around when I say we didn't do everything right. You know, we did do some things right, but there's a bunch of things that I wish I had a do-over in. Or like in a video game, you die, but then you keep playing because you've got another life. Well, you know, we've only got one life. So anyway, let's get at it. You ready? So I'm not an expert, but let's see what God says about it, because what he says is more important than what I say, what you say, or what anybody thinks. So here we go. If you've got inside your program, there should be a listening guide. If you'd like to take notes and fill in the blanks, you can. More than welcome to do so. It would really make me feel good. But we got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So can you listen fast? All right, here we go. Here's the first thing I want to say is this. And there's four big things, but under the fourth point, we've got several subpoints. The first thing is this, as far as the principle of parenting is, I will see. Or you might, instead of saying see, you might say I will receive. I'll receive my children as amazing gifts from God. I think that's a good place to start. I will see my children as amazing gifts from God. The scripture says this in Psalm 127 and verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. There's some other more modern translations that call that children are a gift from the Lord. That's what the word heritage means. God has given us a gift. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are not an inconvenience. Children are a gift from God. Children are not an expense. There's someone that God has given to us and entrusted to us, and they're amazing responsibility. So, you know, have you ever gotten a gift that you didn't really like?
Yes.
I won't ask what it is, but you know, sometimes, what do you do when you get a gift that you don't really like? You try and fake smile? Do it right now. Try and do a fake smile. Thank you. You know. Maybe it's a tie. You don't really care for that style tie or some clothing. I remember several years ago whenever I would travel. You know, I'm going to Guatemala. Hey, it's next month.
Yeah.
I leave, I think, on September 10th. I'll be there for about 8 days ministering into a couple of churches that we have in Guatemala. And I remember several years ago I would go traveling. I'd always want to bring back gifts to my kids and to Connie. And so for Connie and Rebecca, I would always buy some article of clothing. And finally, after several trips, I think it was Rebecca, because she was more forthright than Connie was about it, and she said something like this, Dad, maybe this time, it was before I was going to go on another trip, she said, maybe just buy us jewelry, not clothing. Because they never liked. You know, a lot of times it's the wrong size, you know. I'd always get too small, because I think too small is better than too big. Like, you think I'm, you know... So I'd rather say, you think I can fit into that? Yes, absolutely. I think you could fit into that. So anyway, I was banned from buying those gifts. But they did the best they can. But I did the best I can, and they did the best at trying to act like they liked the stuff I bought them. But, you know, think about it. Your children have been given to you by God. And that's awesome. That's awesome. The second thing I want to point out this morning is not only children are amazing gifts from God, but the second thing is this. I love this picture here. I will nudge. I really struggle with what word to put here, and I liked the word nudge. I will nudge my children toward Jesus as a powerful kingdom strategy. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever figured this out or not, but you can't make anybody. You can't really make anybody do anything, can you? Even your kid. Maybe you say, well, I can. You will eat this squash. But you put it in their mouth, and what do? Exactly. It's like the little kid. You know, his mother told him, sit down. And he said, no. And she said, sit down. And he said, no. She said, sit down. He finally sat down. And then you know what he said? I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. I mean, you know, the people have their own. So I like this word nudge. You can't force a person to accept Jesus, but you can nudge your children in the direction of Jesus. I've got a couple things I want to say about this, but you don't have the sub point in your notes, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The first thing is this. My children are strategic arrows. Arrows. A-R-R-O-W-S. Arrows, not eras. My children are strategic arrows from God. The Bible says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And you think about it. What a great illustration. You're holding this bow, and in that bow is an arrow, and that arrow represents your children. And what are you going to do? You're going to pull it back, you're going to aim it carefully, and you're going to let it fly. The truth of the matter is, your children oftentimes, they have the potential to, and oftentimes go farther than you. And if it's your friend, you're all jealous about your friend. You don't want your friend to do it better than you. But your children, you rejoice if your children do better than you. We ought to rejoice if our friends do better than us too. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Which is easier? It's easier to weep with those who weep for most people, you know. But anyway, that's another subject. So anyway, my children, they're strategic arrows from God. And let me say this, because sometimes sometimes people hear terrible things that they should never hear. But you may not have been planned by your parents, but you were planned by God. You might have been told, I wish I'd never had you. You were an accident or whatever. I can tell you, you were not an accident. There's a God who's way bigger than the circumstances of this life, way bigger than your parents. And you're here because God loves you and God created you for a special purpose. So children are strategic arrows. And then the second thing is this. My children are significant agents for fulfilling God's plan. The scriptures say this in Genesis. Abraham was the father of all who believe. You know that from the book of Genesis. And this is what God said to Abraham. He said, for I've known him in order that he may do what? Command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he had spoken to him. Now, God had spoken some big promises to Abraham, didn't he? He said, everywhere your footsteps, that's going to be yours. In you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. That's a pretty big promise. Who's the ultimate descendant of Abraham who blesses all the families of the earth? His name is Jesus. That's exactly right. And if you read the book of Galatians, you'll find out that what God promised to Abraham, he promises to you. So I don't know about that. You read it. It's in the book of Galatians. But it's interesting, how does God go about bringing the promises to pass that he gave to Abraham? It's through Abraham's children. So my children, they're arrows, but they're also agents for fulfilling God's plan. So the third thing I'd like to share with you is this, and it is this. I will rely on God's promises regarding my children. Now, this is going out, for some people would say this is going out on a limb, but I don't think we're ever going out on a limb when we go with God. What about you? You know, I've said this before. Things in the kingdom of God and the world are almost always opposite. You know, for example, in John 11, one of my favorite miracles, not my favorite miracle, but one of them, where Jesus healed the man that he raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember that? When Jesus got there, he'd been dead for 4 days already. Because what was Jesus doing? In the mind of Mary and Martha, he was lollygagging around, which is sometimes the way we feel about Jesus. Hey, Jesus, a little help over here. And sometimes, you know, as you go in the Christian life, you find out God's, you know, Jesus, he's seldom early, but he's never late. It's like Peter when he's drowning. Lord, save me, I'm perishing. Just as his hand is going under, Jesus pulls him out. Sometimes, I don't know if you felt that way. I've felt that way before. But anyway, concerning that miracle of raising Lazarus, he told Mary and Martha the same thing. He said, he asked him a question. Didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see? Now think about the order. In the kingdom of God, the order is believe, and then what? See. In the world, what's the order? See. I'll believe it when I... In the world, the order is see, then believe. In the kingdom of God, it's believe, then see. And if you refuse to believe, you probably will never see. So I think, you know, in the world, you crawl out on a limb, and the farther you crawl out, the thinner it gets and the more dangerous it gets, right? In the kingdom of God, I think it's the opposite. The farther you crawl out on the promises of God, the limbs are getting bigger as you go out. All right, here's a couple of those promises. You know, and I forget what it is. A couple of months, we're going to do a series on the promises of God, about 7 weeks long. I think it starts sometime in October. I can't remember. I think it's after the camp out. But here's a good promise. Now, this is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible because people stop and they put a period where there's a comma. Acts 16:31 says, the context here is the Philippian jailer who, you know, there was the earthquake, the original jailhouse rock, and all the prisoners were still there. Paul and Silas were singing praises to God at midnight. And the jailkeeper was about to commit suicide. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. You remember that? And he fell down on his face before Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said this. So they said, Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Have you ever heard that verse? Most of the times when we hear that verse, we stop right there, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But there's a comma there after saved and the rest of the verse says, you and... your household. What does that mean? Well, think about it. That doesn't mean if you're saved, you can get saved for somebody else. Everybody has to make a personal commitment to Jesus. But there seems to be a promise here that the promise of the gospel extends beyond you, and you can hang on to this promise for your children until such time as they make a personal commitment to Jesus themselves. I don't know. I'm just saying chew on it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved in your household. And then in Peter's famous sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said, and the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I'm just saying God's interested in your children. Amen. You're interested in, well, God's interested in your children as well. So the third point is I will rely on God's promises regarding my children. Now, some people maybe take that, maybe push it a little too far. Maybe some people don't push on it at all. But I'm just saying, chew on the scriptures, meditate on them, and come to some your own conclusions about that. Now, the fourth and the final principle I want to share with you this morning is this. I will follow God's plan for raising awesome children. And I'm going to share with you four or five things that are involved in God's plan for raising awesome children. Now, when I was a little kid, there was a real famous book about parenting. And it was written by a guy named Dr. Spock. Not the guy on Star Trek. But Dr. Spock, a famous book on parenting. And I don't know, but I think that book might have messed up some people. There's certain parts of that book. If I'm not mistaken, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he one of the original ones that said you should never spank your children? Wasn't that in Dr. Spock's book? The one part of that book that my mother did not follow. I remember when I was a little kid, we lived in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and one of the most painful experiences that I ever had growing up. We had these, I forget what they're called, but the trees that kind of grow straight up. You know, a lot of times people plant them on their property line as a border. Poplar, that's right. And those poplars are very beautiful trees. God created poplars. I don't know if it's the reason that I'm about to tell you, but, you know, when I would get in big trouble as a little kid, which I know that's shocking, but as a little kid, I did get in big trouble on numerous occasions. And when I would have to go out and pick my own switch from the poplar tree. And so I would look for one with lots of leaves on it. Then later I would have, subsequent to picking such a switch, I would have to take all the leaves off. That made a pretty good spanking stick. I don't know. I think God knows more than Dr. Spock. What do you think?
Amen.
I was actually interviewed on television one time. Merle Purvis interviewed me on TV. So I was on there with Merle Purvis, and some crazy woman was on the other side of the issue. Anyway, this woman said that any person that ever spanked their children in any way whatsoever should be put in jail. That's what she said. I quoted the Bible. You know, and so some people liked what I had to say. Apparently this lady didn't. Merle Purvis had to be, you know, neutral in the matter as a good reporter. Anyway, let's talk about it. I'll follow God's plan for raising awesome children. I have 4 or 5 things here. The first thing is I will teach my children God's word. You know, there are a lot of things we can teach our kids, but I'll tell you one thing that our kids ought to learn is the Bible. You know, in Power Zone, every time in Power Zone, we want them to learn something from the Bible. In 3D, we have a lot of fun in big 3D, the teenagers. But we have Bible time every time. This Wednesday night at 7:03, we're going to have a Wet and Wild 3D Junior, 9 to 12-year-olds. But they're going to learn some what?
Bible.
They're going to learn some Bible. That's right. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 is one of my favorite verses along these lines. It says, you shall teach them, that is the word of God, the principles of Scripture, the commands of Scripture. Teach them diligent to your children. Talk about them. Notice where you ought to talk about the word of God with your children. It's not just a formal time, you know, in the evening. Although that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But this says talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Look for opportunities to bring in and weave in the Word of God into the lives of our children. The second scripture I want to refer to is this. Psalm 78 verse 4 says, we will not hide them from our children. That is the great things of God. But we're going to tell to the generation to come the praises of our God and His strength and His wonderful works which He has done. I'm telling you, one of the greatest strategies of the enemy is to try and create generational disconnect. To disconnect one generation from the next generation. And he might say, well, if I can't have this generation, I want the next generation. We need to work against that. Church is not an adults-only situation. It's a every generation thing. It's for older people. It's for younger people. It's for little children. It's for teenagers. It's for everybody. And we try and have things that are balanced for every generation represented. So I'm going to teach my children God's word. And there are tons of resources available for things like this. The second thing is this. Not only will I teach them, but I'm also going to train my children in God's way. You say, well, that's the same thing. No, I think teaching and training are not the same thing. Now, this is going to sound awful, but, you know, when we think about training, we probably more likely, rather than talk about thinking about children, we normally think about training. Training a dog, right?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say?
Adults.
Training adults? Sit, boy, sit. No, I was thinking about training a dog. When Chaco, my wife's dog Chaco, when he was little, man, he's a smart little dude. And I taught him all kind of tricks. You know, sit.
Jump.
Up. Down. My favorite trick that I ever taught him, and I was always really impressed by this trick he learned. I'd go like this, bang, bang. He would lay on his little side with his little paw up like this. My kids were never impressed with the tricks that I taught Chaco. Matter of fact, I think my children were always wondering where they stacked up on the pecking order. We're concerned that Chaco might have overtaken their spot in the order of importance. But my kids are much way up there with Chaco somewhere on the list. But anyway, they were never impressed with these tricks that I taught Chaco. And, I remember, I think it was my oldest son, Kerry. One time, I was demonstrating all these tricks that Chaco knew how to do. And he said, well, can you teach him to shut up? Because he was always a yappy little guy. And so I never taught him that trick, and he still hadn't learned it. But training involves rewarding people, encouraging people, doing the right things. And there's a place for training our children in God's ways. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. This is one of the most familiar promises in the Bible concerning our children. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, that's a good question to ask. How do you provoke your child to wrath? You got to think about that. Chew on it. I think one way, and it's specifically addressed towards fathers, because I think fathers are more likely to do this even than mothers are. And I think one way that fathers provoke their children to wrath is, you know, they come home with a report card, they got an A, they got an A, they got an A, they got an A, they got a B plus. And what does the dad say? Oftentimes it's not, man, good job. Excellent job. It's, why didn't you make an A in that too? That doesn't encourage people, that discourages people. I'll train my children in God's ways. You know, my kids, my kids did good in school, but if they ever made a bad grade on a test, they would always say something like, well, that
teacher.
And I do have a gift of being a smart aleck, so I have to restrain that occasionally. But I would always say something like, well, you know, every test is easy if you know all the answers. If you know the answers, it's easy, right? All tests, if you know all the answers, they're easy. I'm going to have to speed up here. So here we go. 4.3, I will discipline my children in love. Here's a little guy that either needs discipline or just got some, right? I will discipline my children in love. Let me say this. I am not in any way in favor of hurting a child or abusing a child or inflicting injury on a child. But I do not believe that biblical discipline falls in any of those categories. Read the book of Proverbs and you'll see what it says. Here's one of them, Proverbs 29:15. The rod and the rebuke, that's two forms of discipline. The rod's one form, the rebuke is another. Some people only use the rod but never really use the rebuke. Some people use rebuke, never the rod. The rod and rebuke, according to the Bible, give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Think about that. I'll discipline my children in love. I'm going to speed up according to my timer. 4.4, I will encourage my children in grace. Now here's a kid that is self-confident, right? Here's a kid that's creative. I think you ought to look for something to encourage in your children. I heard somebody put it this way one time. Catch your kids doing something good and praise them. Because sometimes as a parent, especially if you have small children, you feel like the main word you're saying all the time is what? No. All the time. Well, try and catch your children doing something good and praise them for that. Because they need praise too. I will encourage my children in grace. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, similar to the Ephesians passage, Ephesians and Colossians are very similar books. Lest they become discouraged. We don't want to discourage our children. We want to encourage our children. There's some things that people have said to me over the years that have been very encouraging that I've never forgotten. By the same token, there's some things that have been said to me and probably said to you at times that were very discouraging. And you kind of hung on to those. It's like they stuck. Well, you got to learn to get past those things. It's hard. But we want to try and encourage our children. Some people think, well, they're my kids. I'll say whatever I want to. Well, they're the kids that God has entrusted to you, and they're a gift to God for you, but you're accountable to God how you treat them and how you talk to them. They're also God's children, and you shouldn't be talking to them in ways that bring about discouragement in their lives. Here's the final thing that I'm going to share is this, and it's I will model personal commitment to Christ for my children. I'll model it. I'm going to be an example. You know, with our message about young people and singleness a couple of weeks ago, you know, I shared that verse that says, be an example. Don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example to everybody in faith and commitment and that whole list of things. Well, we ought to not follow the principle of do as I say, not as I do. Well, we ought to give an example. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but if you don't know how to do something, how do you find out how to do it? More specifically, you go to YouTube and type in, how do I, and you're probably going to find a video on it. Now, if you just go to Google, you're going to get all these words on there that tell you how to do something. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather have pictures on how to do it. I'd rather have a video on how to do it. I'll tell you, those how-to videos that I hate on YouTube are the ones that there's no words. It just, you know, click here, here. I get confused by all that. I want somebody to the picture and the words also. But model personal commitment to Christ. Here's a good scripture for you. Joshua 24, verse 15. The end of Joshua's life. He said, now, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And I love this part. But as for me and my house, we will. But it started with who? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There was a, you know, that most of you know probably, maybe newer people don't know, but I like country music. And there's this country music song that was sung by Rodney Adkins. I forget, it was 3 or 4 years ago. I forgot to write down the name of the song, but you mean to read you some of it? Sing it. Bring out the band. We don't have time for that. It says I'm 2 minutes over already. So driving through town, just my boy and me with a happy meal in his booster seat. Y'all ever heard this song? Knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. Now parents know all about happy meals. Grandparents know all about happy meals. Like parents, they go through McDonald's and they get the 20-pack because it's cheaper. Grandparents go through and get the Happy Meal because of the toy. He couldn't have his toy until the nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and then mumbled under my breath. And as fries went flying and his orange drink covered his lap, well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word that started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? And he said, well, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be just like you. I want to eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. That might hurt a little bit, right? You want a better verse? So we got back home, and I went to the barn. I bowed my head, and I prayed real hard. And I said, Lord, help me. Please help my stupid self Somebody's got the song better than me. Then this side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo night light, he crawled out of bed. He got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands. He spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And so I said, "Son, where'd you learn to pray like that?" And what did he say? Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Except in a more masculine voice, you know, he said that. He was not a real feminine voice. "I want to be like you." There's nothing like the power of an example. Now, you might say, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I know I've gone too long here, but you might be saying, "Well, you know, I'm not perfect." Well, welcome to the club. None of the rest of us are either. And if you're not perfect, then you also get the opportunity to demonstrate repentance and asking for forgiveness and humility, because kids need to learn that too, right? So what are we going to do as a result of what we've talked about today? If you would take out your Connect card one more time and turn it over to side two, and in the upper left-hand part of the side two, it says, "My next step in response to the ministry, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is that I will." Well, all of us maybe can put something here, right? And so if nothing else, just write your name on the card. We're going to receive these in a few minutes. And you just drop them in the offering bag. It's real easy. So if you don't want to do anything but your name, just do that. Drop it in the bag. But let's see if we can figure out something that might be a next step for us. So I'm going to suggest several things, and I, went too far. There we go. Sorry. That's why it's been considered to adding this to the banned list of things I'm not allowed to do. I'll make Deuteronomy 6:7 my verse of the week. That's a great verse. You remember, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up." Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. I will make this my verse of the week. A second possible next step is this. You know, this would be a good little Bible study to go over during the week. Because, you know, I went through this real fast, but during the week you got more time. Look up all these scriptures again. Study them. Make a Bible study out of them. Maybe go over them with your whole family. That'd be a good next step. I'm going to review these notes and look up all these scriptures. Third possible next step is I'm going to pick one of the things we talked about today, and there's actually a lot of them. I'm going to pick one of them and focus on that for this week, on how I can be a better dad, how I can be a better mom, how I can be a better grandparent. Wait a minute, I couldn't possibly be a better grandparent. Okay, there's a few things I could work on. It is kind of funny because things change in life. I was talking to Amanda about this sort of, this is a change in life that you'll experience, you and Kevin. You know, used to, I told my daughter what to do. Now she tells me what to do. Like not long ago, the kids were going to spend the night. And she said, "Now, Dad, do not let Julian stay up all night playing on his tablet." Yes, ma'am. Because apparently the previous time he spent the night, guess what I did? Yeah, I got in trouble. So pick one thing that you can improve on. And then the final thing I'll mention is this, is, you know what? You might say, "I came on the wrong day. You know, I'm not a parent. I'm not into this. I'm not, don't really care about any of this stuff." Well, you know, if you're not a parent, you might be a parent one day. If you're beyond the having your own children at home period in life, you can still be a good influence on other people for parenting and pray for them. It's a hard job. Or maybe just not really into it at all. Well, you know what? Maybe today would be a good day for you to commit your life to Jesus. Say, "You know, this would be the weirdest message ever for you to commit your life to Jesus, but why not? Jesus is amazing. Why not trust Jesus with all your heart and soul today?" And that'll be your next step. And then you can mark on your card, "I want to begin a relationship with Jesus," or make a fresh start. Would you join me? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for how good and gracious you are to us. Thank you for the study we've had this morning based on a question that was submitted about, you know, how can I be a better parent? God, I don't want your people to be discouraged today. I want you to encourage your people that they can rise up and follow these principles in their lives. And when they mess up, they can confess their own sins and restore relationships with their own children. And God, if there's anybody here this morning that as yet does not know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'd open their hearts today. Help them to make that step today of I'm turning from my sins. Jesus, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to believe on you. And for those of you that might have a child maybe that's gone astray or is going astray or whatever, God, I pray that you give each parent faith to believe that promise, to believe on you as Lord and Savior. And that promise is to us and to our children, to all who are afar off. And that we'll be saved and our household, whatever that means, God, give us some faith for our households. Lord, help us to battle the generational disconnect that is so common in our society. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit us at www.newlifeob.org. We hope to see you again soon.